This morning, Genesis chapter 24 is where we're going to be. Genesis chapter 24. The title of this lesson, for those taking notes, is A Wife for Isaac. A Wife for Isaac. Last week we went to a funeral. This week we're going to go to a wedding, or at least an engagement, and then talk a little bit about a wedding. You know, the Bible, when you begin to look at the Bible, you begin to realize that these men and women lived lives just like we do. And they had to live by faith, and they had to trust in God. And as we look at this chapter, I encourage you to notice the faith that was involved in Abraham, of course his servant, Rebekah, and even Isaac. That's what we're going to focus on more than anything else, is the faith that took place in this chapter. Beginning in verse 1 of Genesis 24, it says, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. I will make thee swear by the Lord, and the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again." We're going to start there this morning. And like we do each week, we're going to look at this entire chapter. Now, when you look at an entire chapter, I can't get into the details of all of it. So we hit the highlights. We do this on purpose so that way we can cover a lot of territory in our Bible class. But also we can encourage you to study the Bible yourself. Now, if you enjoy this lesson, we also provide a Bible outline online. If you go to our website, centralbaptistchurch.org, you'll find the Bible outline and a Bible study for this chapter. Because I can't hit everything, but in there you may be able to find some information that I was not able to touch upon that may encourage you, or you can study for yourself with that. But we're going to get into this morning, and we're going to begin by noticing that the Bible makes it very clear that this occurred at the end of Abraham's life, or towards the end of his life. It says he was old, makes the comment that he was well stricken in age. At this point in his life, Sarah had already went home to the Lord. At this point in his life, Abraham had been greatly blessed, not only with spiritual blessings, but with physical blessings. God had blessed him in a great way. At this point in his life, as he's looking back, I imagine he knows the promise of God. He's seen God work. He has faith. But he also understands that Isaac, who the promise was not only given to, but would be carried out through him, was without a wife. Now, as we get older, I think, and I can say this now that I have children, the older I get, the more I think about them and their life and their future. It used to be just me and what I'm going to do. Now, you know, the older I get, the more I think about what it's going to be like when they live, and leaving something for them, and encouraging them and challenging them. And we find Abraham here. I believe that's the situation. He looks upon Isaac. Isaac's 40 years old at this time. He has no wife. He's not married. And he looks upon Isaac, and I imagine he was, you know, he knew the promise was good, but I imagine he wanted to see Isaac married and wanted to see him have a wife and a family. And so the Bible tells us that he called in his servant, and he basically, as we'll see this morning, commissioned his servant to go out and find the wife that God had for Isaac. Now, as far as the servant, Genesis chapter 15, verses 2 and 3, if you're taking notes, tells us of a man by the name of Eliezer, who was at that point was Abraham's steward. A lot of people believe that was the servant it's referring to, and perhaps it was. But I will say this, the account in Genesis 15 was 50 years prior to this chapter. So there's a good chance it wasn't Eliezer either. The Bible doesn't tell us a name, it just says Abraham's servant. So the rest of this chapter, I'm not going to mention a name, we'll just refer to him as Abraham's servant, and the Lord knows exactly who he was. But it was a trusted servant. How many of you have a good friend? That's what this was to Abraham, a good friend. I tell you, if you have a good friend, praise the Lord for them. Be thankful, be grateful for having a good friend. Someone you can trust with responsibility. Someone that can help you out. That's what he had here. He had a friend that he could trust. And you know what's interesting? Abraham couldn't make this trip. You know, as we get older, we become limited in what we are able to do. Not in what we want to do, but in what we're able to do. And that's what happened with Abraham. I imagine he wanted to make this trip. He wanted to go and secure the correct wife for Isaac, but he couldn't do it. You know, that's a lesson for us. There are going to be times in our life where we cannot do something, whether it's physically or even, I guess, say spiritually. There are going to be times where we are not able to do something, and we must go by faith. Trust that God will work. And whether that's having someone help us out, looking to a friend or someone to assist us, and then trusting God will work. You see, that's what Abraham did. It was by faith. Now, in this passage here, we find him commissioning his servant. He basically called him in. He made him take an oath. He made him make a promise. You know, this was serious to Abraham. One thing I want to make mention of is marriage is a serious matter. And I believe today that's been set aside. A lot of people don't take marriage seriously at all anymore, and it's sad. But marriage is serious. It's serious to Abraham, and it was serious to God. And so he made this servant take an oath. I mean, he made him promise, a vow to go out and find the correct woman. And he promised, the servant promised, he made took the oath, and he promised to return to Abraham's homeland, and he promised to find a wife for Isaac and bring that young woman back so that way she would be able to marry Isaac and have a family there with Isaac. Now, Abraham makes a point of something, and I want to stop here a little bit and just talk about this. It says there in verse 3, at the end of verse 3, he says there, "Thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites," he says there, "among whom I dwell." I do believe it's important to marry an individual of like faith. If you're a believer, I believe it's important to marry someone else who's a believer. Now, you're not going to always have everything in common. You may have some differences and opinions, and that's good. That's part of life. If we had everything in common, it'd be boring. But having faith in common is important. You know, marriage is going to be difficult enough as it is. But if you don't have a common faith and you're not serving God together, it's going to be tremendously difficult to get through. And I think many have found that out. One illustration, and this is an illustration that may help us. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 18, if you're taking notes, 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 and 18 says, "Be not unequally yoked together." And then it goes on to explain a little bit of that. But that's referring to being tied together. And here's an illustration. Have you ever seen someone try to put a camel and donkey together to pull a wagon? I never have. And there's a reason. They wouldn't work together. I could just imagine what would take place. That camel, you know, camels are prideful. And donkeys are stubborn. I imagine the donkey would probably do most of the load and create a huge problem. Or even an ox and a horse wouldn't go together. And now, those are crude illustrations. But, you know, when it comes to marriage, when you marry someone, you become one. And you should move together and serve the Lord together. And so I know many here this morning, you know, you're already married. But maybe this will help you as you encourage your children maybe or your grandchildren. And just to challenge them to make a correct decision. And I guess more than anything else, just understand that it is important who you marry and what they believe. Anyway, what we find here is that Abraham challenged him to go and find a woman from his homeland. Someone I think he believed would not be a pagan, but someone that would worship the one God of heaven. Now the servant had a good question for Abraham. He did. We find here, I have an image up here. Now in our PowerPoint we use a lot of images. This is the missing piece of the puzzle for Isaac. You think about that. Have you ever had that in your life? Where you knew God had given you these promises, but you didn't know how God was going to work things out? That's what it was. Abraham knew everything was going to play out. He knew Isaac would have a wife, but he didn't know who. And he didn't know when. And that was the missing piece of the puzzle. But he's beginning to go by faith so God can fill that piece in. Anyway, when you think about the direction here, the servant asked Abraham a good question. He said, "You know what? Say I get down there and I find this woman and she doesn't want to come back. Should I return and take Isaac with me? Should I take Isaac to the land?" And you know what Abraham does? Immediately said, "No. No, you keep Isaac here. Isaac will not leave the land." You know, I think we find a few thoughts here. First, I believe the first one that I find here is that Abraham understood the importance of the land. That's what God promised him when he went there. That was part of the covenant, was the land. You know, I believe if Isaac would have left, he may not have come back. He may have left and had no desire to return after going away. And maybe that's what Abraham was concerned with. He wanted to keep Isaac there in the land. How many of you ever... I'll just, my own testimony. I remember when I went out to college. I'll just share this with you. I'm not proud of this. This is just my testimony. When I went to college, I was saved, trusted in Christ. I didn't get into all the sins of the world, but I tell you what, for a while there, I stopped going to church. When I first went to college, I found a sound church. My parents helped me find it. I went there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. By the end of that first year, I was maybe hit and miss. I mean, it started slowly. First it was, well, I don't need to get there Wednesday. Maybe I'll get there sometime for Bible class. Now, I didn't lose my salvation, but the longer I stayed away, the easier it was not to go, is what happened. I just got other things, and pretty soon, I would go if I thought about it. At the beginning of the year, I went, you know, just as what I did. By the time it came to end, I just, well, you know, that can happen to believers. You know, it can happen when we read the Bible if we're not careful. We get out of the, you know, we read the Bible every day, or we should read it as much as possible. But, you know, sometimes if we get out of that and we stop reading and get caught up with other stuff, it's easy to neglect it and set it aside. You know, maybe that's what Abraham was concerned with Isaac, that once he left, it'd be difficult for him to return. He would set up a life there and not come back. And so Abraham said, no, Isaac must stay. If you're going to find a woman, she has to come back. Another thought here, too, is Abraham may have considered this. If a wife wasn't willing to come back, maybe he thought that that's not the correct one. And don't force the issue. Don't force it. If she doesn't want to come and be married, then maybe that's not the correct one. You know, that's another thought, too. If we're not careful, we can force the matter in life. You know, you hear that phrase, people say, well, God will close doors. I believe God does close doors. We need to be careful of trying to kick those doors back open. God closes a door, we don't need to just stubbornly keep trying to go that direction and fight against God's will, because it's just going to hurt us. You know, maybe that was another thought. Maybe Abraham thought, you know, if she doesn't want to come back, then maybe she's not the correct one. Don't force someone into marrying my son. Well, anyway, that's what Abraham did. And I think we find here, he just trusted God. That's all he could do. He trusted God to work things out. Now, the servant's faithfulness. Bible says he was ready to serve. He was willing to go. He did all that Abraham requested. He took the oath, and he was trusted with this great task. I tell you what, he's a good friend. And the Bible tells us he was ready to go. Now, real quick, Abraham had to trust the Lord. And I don't have time to go over this too much, but I'll just run through a few points that I want to share with you. Abraham obeyed God's word as far as, you know, following the Lord. And he wanted Isaac to also learn that example. You know, Abraham believed that God could lead his servant. So he directed his servant. You know, here's something to think about. Do you realize God can work in other people's lives as well? Sometimes we get stubborn. You know, they think, well, God can just work in my life. You know, God can send people into our life to help us and to assist us, and God can work in that manner. Also, Abraham, by now, his faith had been strengthened. He was a strong man of faith, and so he trusted God. And finally, you think of this, he had to wait. Could you imagine the weight that Abraham had while the servant took off? I imagine the wait. I imagine he's wondering, you know, when's he going to return? You know, they didn't have telephones or email or all the technology that we're blessed with today. So he had to wait for him to return. And it was probably a long wait. I imagine some days he'd get up just to see if he's returning yet and what has taken place. Now, a few thoughts on the marriage customs of the day. Before you move on, I want to just give you a few thoughts on this. This is some of the information I found out. When someone, as far as the marriage customs, the betrothal took place in the house of the bride's father. That was just the custom. They would, offer the hand in the house of the bride's father. And then the bridegroom, at the same time, would offer or give presents to the bride's family, especially to the mother of the bride. They would give presents to the mother and to the family in general. And then the bridegroom was not allowed to see the bride until he accepted her into his house. And then that was the official marriage when, you know, of course, the ceremony and everything that they had would take place, and then they would be married. So the marriage would be complete. It's just a little bit different than today, than what we do today. But anyway, I want to say this. The Lord is interested in our marriage today. This morning, if you're married, he's interested in your marriage. If you're not married, he's interested. If you're praying about becoming married or marrying someone, he's also interested in that. Because it's part of your life. And I do believe he cares about you and he cares about your life. So the Lord is interested in our life and we just need to trust him. Now, verses 10 through 28. Let's look at Abraham's faith rewarded. Abraham's faith rewarded. It says there in Genesis 24, verse 10, it says, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. He arose, went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city, by a well of water at the time of evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. He said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day. Show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. He says, and let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness, he says, unto my master. Now, we have here, I got a map up here this morning, and actually, let me get my pointer. I left it back here, but this is just to give you an idea of the area and the distance that he had to travel. It's believed, here's Israel down here, modern day Israel. It's believed Abraham probably lived in this vicinity. Mesopotamia is over in this direction here. Most people believe that the northern part is what this is referring to. But either way, this was a trip that this man had to take. It wasn't just down the street or, you know, a day's trip. It probably took several days, maybe even weeks or months to make this trip, depending on the weather, depending on the circumstances. And so it was a major trip. It says he took camels. He had servants, of course, to protect him. He had to take gifts, as we'll see in a little bit. He gave gifts to Rebekah and her family, so he had gifts. This was a caravan that took off out to find Isaac's wife. Now, I want to just make mention of this. I don't believe this was an arranged marriage. There are some who say, well, every time in the Bible you find arranged marriages. Here's why I don't believe this was a typical arranged marriage. Abraham didn't know the woman. He didn't know it was Rebekah. Here's what Abraham believed. He believed a woman was chosen to be Isaac's wife, is what he believed. He believed that God had a woman out there that would marry Isaac. A specific woman, not just anyone, but someone that God would raise up to be his son's wife. And he believed that that woman was not of the world. He thought that woman was not of the Canaanites, not of the world, but that woman would have to be a specific woman that would serve the Lord. You know what he did? He just went about finding that woman is what he did. He didn't arrange a marriage, as we'll see here. He went about sending his servant, trusting God, and as we'll see here in a minute, the servant even prayed that God would bring that woman into Isaac's life, and that he would marry the correct woman. You know, parents, this morning, I encourage you, you know, to do the same thing. I really believe that, you know, if your child is saved, if you have a son or a daughter, if they're saved, they've trusted in Christ, that God will raise up the one he wants them to marry. One that will love him and serve him, and they'll live together, and begin praying that God will bring them together, the one that he has for them. And that they'll become one and serve the Lord together. You see, I believe God knows the future. I believe God works in advance. And I believe God can work in that way as well. So that's basically what Abraham did. He trusted God. And he prayed for Isaac and for the situation. And did his best he could to bring that to pass. Now, in verses 10 through 28, the servant takes off. He takes his camels. He takes the goods. Bible says that when he arrived, it doesn't tell much of the trip. Because that's, of course, not the important part. It says there that he arrived at the city of Nahor, and there he rested the camels outside the city by a well of water. Now, those wells in those days, those wells were large wells. They weren't, you know, just a few feet wide. They were several feet wide. Many of these wells had stairs that you could ascend and descend into the well to get water. And most of these wells would supply a city. That's why they would sit outside the outskirts of the city, and the women would often come either in the morning or in the evening, depending on the situation, and they would gather the water for the home and for the family. So this was a large well. You know, he stopped and he rested there and waited. You know, my first thought is, you know what he did? He put himself in a place where he knew the young women would be arriving. And not just the young women, but think about this. The dedicated women that were doing what they were supposed to be doing. And I don't know if we have anyone out here this morning that's looking for a wife. Or a husband. But I'm going to tell you what, be careful of where you find or where you go looking for a wife or husband. You know, today many are looking for a wife or husband in the wrong places. And they're going to find, or they might find a wife or husband, but they also might find the one that's going to be troubles later on in life. You see, he went to a place where he knew that there'd be a woman or women coming to do work, coming to be faithful. And so we find here he arrives, and you know what he did? He didn't just sit there and say, well, I'm going to make my own plan and scheme and figure this out. The Bible tells us that he prayed to God. He took the matter to the Lord. You know, this morning, if you have any issue in your life, any concern, go to God. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, cast all your care upon him. Throw them upon him. Give them to him. Don't carry them yourself. Give them to God. Ask for his assistance. Ask for his help. I believe he will answer prayers. I believe he will help us and carry our burdens for us or assist us or guide us correctly. And that's what this man did. This servant arrived. You know, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us anything else about this servant except for this, really this record here. I wouldn't be surprised if we see this man in heaven, though. The way he prayed, knowing he was Abraham's friend. I imagine he's with the Lord today, or I wouldn't be surprised if we get there and he's with God today because he loved the Lord. But we have a prayer here of this man. He goes and he immediately begins to talk to God. And notice we've read it there as far as the prayer that takes place. It says there in verse 12, he begins. He says, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show me kindness unto my master Abraham. As far as his prayer, you notice that first it was prayer on behalf of Abraham and his family. You know, I encourage you, pray for others. You know, Wednesday nights we take our prayer requests. Pray for others. It's easy to get into the rut of just praying for ourselves. What's that phrase? My four, and bless my four, and no more. You know, if we're not careful, we can just pray for our. Pray for other people. Pray for your friends. Pray for your other family members that may be struggling. Abraham here prayed on behalf the servant prayed on behalf of Abraham, that God would answer this prayer and bless his family. Also, what we find here, that this prayer was specific. He had details of the situation. You know, I think if we're not careful, we can become too general in our prayers. Just, Lord, bless me today. How about we pray specifically? Lord, help me with this trial. Help me at work today in this situation. Help me or help my family. Let's be specific in our prayer life. He was specific in his prayer life. Also, this prayer concerned a personal matter. You know, God wants to know our personal cares, or he wants to hear them. He knows them already. But he wants us to take our personal matters to him. And the prayer was made as he followed the Lord. This man was obedient. He was where he was supposed to be. And he lifted up a prayer with God, and he even prayed in accordance with the Lord's direction. You know, he wasn't demanding the Lord. He was asking the Lord to provide and to help him out and to guide him. It was a prayer of faith, without a doubt, a prayer of faith. He didn't know which direction to go. And I imagine this servant, you know what? He didn't want to pick the wrong one. Can you imagine being Abraham's servant? You don't want to pick the wrong woman and take her back for Isaac. So he wants to make sure that the correct woman returns with him to be Isaac's wife and Isaac's bride. So he seeks God in the matter and he looks for help. And so the Bible tells us Rebekah arrived. You know what's interesting? She arrived as he was praying, or as he was finishing his prayer. You see, God can answer our prayers immediately, and sometimes he does. Also, I think when we get to heaven, God may show us, I don't know if he will or not, he might show us that he was answering our prayers. We just didn't see him working at the time. You see, God may be answering one of your prayers right now. You just may not see the work that's taking place. So keep praying. Keep having faith in God. Anyway, it was answered immediately. The Bible says, verse 15, before he had done speaking, behold, Rebekah came out, was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. The damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. The servant ran to meet her and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. He says, and she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her head and gave him drink. When she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. She hasted, emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran again out of the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. Now, as we look in this, this man, this servant, as he prayed to God, I don't think he had so much a test for God. You know, he wasn't testing God. He was basically asking the Lord to provide the correct woman. Now, he, I guess you say, provided a plan of action as far as he would ask the women for a drink, or he would find one, ask her for a drink. Now, he knew most women would probably provide a drink for him and the other men. Some might not. But he knew most would probably be generous enough to do that. But think of this. He prayed that the Lord would provide a woman that would also go an extra step and provide water for the camels. Now, when I was preparing this lesson, I found, depending on the source, they say camels, thirsting camels, can drink anywhere from 5 to 10 gallons of water. That's just one camel. Now, she didn't have a water hose where she could just pour this into the trough there. She had to take her pitcher, who knows how many times, up and down and keep pouring that water in until all of those camels got full with water. You see, what we find here is I think this man, the servant, was praying that God would send a woman of the right character, a young woman that not only would be generous but would take initiative and go that extra mile and be helpful and do this without being asked. See, he wasn't going to ask a woman to do this. He was going to see what would, pray the Lord would send one that would do it. And the Bible tells us that's exactly what Rebekah did. She arrived there at the well, and it gives us a little bit more information concerning her. It says she was pure. It also says that she was fair to look upon. And then it tells us that when she arrived, that she was generous. He asked for a drink of water, and she provided for him and the others. But then she herself took the initiative and began to take care of the camels. Now you talk about a woman of character right there. Think about that. She was kind, helpful. She didn't have to be asked to do this. She just began to do it. And evidently she did it without complaint. This man just sat back and watched, and the Bible tells us he began to wonder. You know what it was? His prayer was answered just as he asked it. And he began to wonder if this was the woman. And she provided the water to these camels. How long it took? One person said it could have taken anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour and a half to 2 hours for these camels to drink up that water until they were done. And she continued to fill up that trough and fill up take the pitcher and get that water. And we find a young woman who was working. Now, keep this in mind. She had no reward that she was expecting for this. She just was being generous and helping out. You know, that's a good character trait to have, not just in a wife, but in a husband as well, men and women, to be generous and kind. Also, she was diligent in her work. She did it without complaining. She was helpful, polite, unselfish. She provided water for everybody there. And finally, this man, we find here at the end, it says it in verse 21, and the man wondering at her held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Now, he's still not sure. It says he held his peace. He's wondering, saying, wow, this is being answered. And in verse 22, it says, and it came to pass as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of a half shekel weight, two braces for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. And she said, moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough, room to lodge in. The man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. The damsel ran and told of her mother's house these things. So she finishes, this man's wondering, and then he looks upon her. He gives her these gifts. Now these gifts were not, I don't believe they were the gifts as far as the engagement gifts. These were just gifts of thanks. She had went the extra mile and had taken care of the camels, and he gives her, it says there, bracelets and an earring, and gives her these expensive gifts. Is what they're very expensive, and that's what the Bible is trying to tell us when it talks about the weight. Very expensive gifts to her, and thanks for her helping out. And then he asked of her, of her identity, who she was, and if there was a place that he could lodge in. And the Bible tells us there that she told him who she was. And that's when he realized that she was of Abraham's family, of his kindred, of his homeland. Now, this man didn't have a GPS. You know, we have GPS today. We have GPS, we have Google Maps. I mean, we know exactly where we're going, when we're going, usually. Sometimes we can get lost still today. But he didn't have any of those at his disposal. He had to trust completely in God. Now, just because we have a lot of technology, sometimes that can hinder our faith, by the way. Because we have so much, sometimes we don't live by faith because we have so much. Let's continue to trust God and live by faith. This man trusted God, was led to the correct place. Rebekah was hospitable. She said, yes, we have a place. We'll put you up and everyone will be taken care of. And the Bible tells us this man immediately gave thanks to God. Immediately. There was no delay. He just began to thank God for the blessing God provided. You know, next time God blesses you, just give him thanks right then and there. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of this. Thank you, Lord, for providing. So he thanked the Lord for providing for him. And then we go on to verses 29 through 67, which gives us a little bit more of her family as far as Isaac's future bride. And as we get into that, I won't, because of time's sake, we won't be going into this real in depth. But what we have here is some questions, and I guess you said some decisions have to be made. How many of you put off making decisions if you're able to? Now, some people don't, but some people do. You know, sometimes it's difficult to make decisions. Now, she's going to have a decision to make. Her family's going to have a decision to make. And we find here there was a lot of questions that were involved. Verse 29 begins, says, Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. Laban ran out to the man under the well, and it came to pass when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands. And when he heard the words of Rebekah's sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. So she goes home, she tells her mom about all that's taking place, and there's her brother Laban. Now, we find out later in the Bible that Laban loved the world.
You can see it right here, though. It says that when he looked upon the gifts, he didn't care about the story anymore about Isaac or Abraham. He saw he knew immediately there was a man of wealth sitting out there. The Bible says he took off. Later, like I said, later in the Bible, we find out Laban was a man that loved the world, the things of the world, and would deceive and do anything he could to get an advantage. So he takes off. That's her brother. Laban runs out there. The man, he meets the servant, brings him home. I'm not going to read all the verses this morning because of time's sake. I encourage you to do so. But he brings the servant home, puts him up. The Bible tells us that the servant took care of his camels, washed up. They had a meal waiting for him. And then he walks into this meal, and you know what he does? He asks for permission to deal with business. See, this was important to him. And the family obliged. They said, okay, go ahead. See, custom, from my understanding, custom was usually to eat before they did any business. They would eat. But this was important to this man, and he asked if he could do his business first. And they said, yes. You know, here's a little lesson for us here. Let's take the direction or the commands of God serious in our life. They should be. Praying should be serious to us. Reading the Bible should be serious. Attending church and studying, getting involved should be a serious matter. Now, we can have fun. We should be. If you're saved, you're going to enjoy doing those things. But we should take them seriously and not just set them aside and say, well, when I get a chance, I'll do this. This was serious to him. It was a serious matter, I believe, because he took that oath. He understood the seriousness of it, so he asked if he could share it first. And they said, go ahead, we'll allow you to. And so the Bible says that he began, and I'm not going to cover this because he kind of covers a lot what we already talked about, but he just tells the story a little bit about about Abraham and about Isaac. What I will draw to your attention, though, is keep in mind, this was basically a marriage proposal. And you notice the two areas he covered? The first area he covered was Abraham. He said, Abraham has been blessed. You see, he's about ready to ask a woman to travel thousands of miles without seeing anything and to trust him. And he's saying, Abraham has been blessed. And everything that Abraham has, Isaac will receive. In other words, you're going to be taken care of. It's not just he wasn't asking her to go on some fool's mission. He's saying, you will be taken care of. Everything is there. And I imagine the gifts that he had provided evidence of the wealth that was there. And so he shared all that. Then he talked about how God had blessed, and then he talked about how God had blessed him as far as the trip and meeting Rebecca. And I imagine, I could just see Rebecca sitting there listening. Now I could see Laban sitting there staring at the treasures, thinking, man, that's a wealthy man, I'd be my brother-in-law. And then we have Rebecca. I imagine she was just enthralled with the story of Isaac. Perhaps he talked about the birth of Isaac. Maybe he told about, it doesn't give us all the details, but maybe he just shared everything about Isaac. And the Bible tells us that she sat there and she listened. She just took it all in. And then it goes on to tell us that she had a decision to make here. It says there, if you find Genesis chapter 24, we're going to skip down a little bit here. It says, let me find where I'm going to go here. In verse 49, it says, and now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me that I may return to the right hand or to the left hand. You know what he does? He says, he shares everything. And if you read that passage, you'll find that he shares everything. And then he looks at the family and says, basically, let me know. If she is not interested or if someone in the family prohibits this, then I will return. You see, this was not a forced marriage. Basically, he was looking for the permission. And in verse 50, it says, then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. In other words, God has directed. We can't get, if God's directed, we just step out of the way if this is the Lord's will. Verse 51 says there, behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, and as the Lord had spoken. And it says, and it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. I'm going to tell you, there's another reason why I believe this man might be in heaven today, because he often worshipped the Lord, bowed himself to God, before God, prayed and sought the Lord. And then in verses 53, we find he gave gifts to Rebekah, to her family. And then in verse 54, it says, and they did eat and drink. He and the men that were with them tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning and said, send me away unto my master. Now, can you imagine that? She says yes. Her family says yes. He arises the next morning after all this has taken place. What a night of excitement. Have you ever had friends come over and you just stay up late talking late into the night? Everyone's excited. I imagine they were all excited for Rebecca. She is going to be married, and she was probably asking him thousands of questions about you know, Abraham, Isaac, maybe the land and all this. And then they go to bed and he arises early and says, I'm ready to go. I know some people like that. I mean, they arrive, they're ready to go home. I travel like that. I don't like to stop. I just like to get somewhere. He was ready to go. And then we see a little bit of hesitation. It says there, verse 55, and her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. In other words, they were hoping for more, but they said, at least let her stay 10 days. Stick around a little bit so we can say goodbye and we can, you know, do, you know, enjoy a little bit more time together. And verse 56, and he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel, inquire at her mouth. They called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Now this morning, as we get ready to wrap this chapter up, a few thoughts here with as far as Rebekah. The decision was hers. That's what it came down to. She could have stayed. She could have remained. And I believe if she would have said no, I believe that servant probably would have returned back to Abraham and said, I believe I found the one, but she doesn't want to come. And then you know what I think would have happened? I believe Abraham would have trusted God, and then who knows what would have taken place, but God would have still worked. But you know what? She was ready. She was ready to go. Now, this was an act of faith. We don't have time this morning to get into it, but Rebekah had faith as well. She's going to a new life, a new land, and Abraham and Sarah had never returned to their homeland. I imagine she knew she probably wouldn't return either. This was an act of faith that she was about ready to go. But you know what? She trusted in God. This morning, marriage is still an act of faith when you think about it. You know, you marry someone, you know them, but you don't know everything about them. It's an act of faith. Not only are you going to have faith that God has provided the right one, but you're going to continue to trust God as you grow together, as a family, as a couple. It's an act of faith to continue on. So anyway, the Bible says that she left. She was accompanied by her nurse and her servants, and she basically placed her trust in God and she went. Verses 62 through 67, we have the last part here, and this is Rebekah meeting Isaac. I'm going to read it, make a few comments, and then we'll wrap it up this morning. But 61 says, actually 62, and Isaac came from the way of the well, Laharoi, for he dwelt in the south country. Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. Servant told Isaac all things that he had done. Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah. She became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. You know, this morning, this last section here, I've entitled it, as far as our notes, Isaac's patience. First, Isaac remained home throughout this whole process. He had to trust God as well, and he trusted the Lord to provide a wife. And apparently he prepared a place for her. It says that he was dwelling in the south. More than likely, I mean, he was older now, probably had his own place kind of away from his dad a little bit. I'm sure he was still beginning to run the estate and everything that was there. But there he dwelled. Now, that's far south in the land is where he was. But he was there meditating in the field. You know, he took time at the end of his day to think upon God. It's good to take time to think upon God. You know, I think it's good to start your day with God. Who was it? David and Daniel both prayed three times a day. The beginning and the middle and at the end. That's a good, I don't want to say habit, but that's good to practice, to get into. Praying to God, talking to Him throughout your day. Finally, real quick, we see Isaac and Rebekah. Here Isaac is. Could you imagine? Here he is out in the field meditating and he sees this caravan coming. Maybe he begins to squint his eyes to see who it is. And then he may have recognized the servant, or maybe recognized some other men. And you know what I think he probably also noticed? The caravan was larger than it was when it went out. You don't tell me he wasn't excited. Here comes his future wife, thrilled. And the Bible tells us on Rebekah's side as well, the Bible says that she asked, who is that? I imagine, and I say I imagine, because we're not given all that took place on that trip, but putting myself in their position, I imagine she asked all kinds of questions. And by the time she arrived, I imagine she knew everything, at least the servant knew about Isaac, she knew. And then she saw this man out there, asked the servant, and the servant said, that's him. And the Bible says she hopped off her camel, and it was basically custom to hop off the camel, and she put her veil on before she met Isaac. That was custom as well. And the Bible tells us that Isaac went to meet her, and there the servant told him everything. Informed him and filled him in. You know, in closing this morning, we find that the servant, first, you know, Abraham's not mentioned again in this chapter, But he's the one who initiated all this by faith. By faith. You know, at the beginning, I wanted you to notice the faith. Abraham, by faith, sent the servant, praying, believing God had a spouse for his son. This morning, if that's where you are, pray. Pray that God will provide the husband or the wife for your child, and that God will provide the correct one. Secondly, how about the servant? Faith. He went by faith. He found her by faith. He returned by faith. But you know what he did? He finished his job. He went out there, found her, brought her home safely. What a good servant to have. What a good friend. How about we be servants like that for the Lord? Faithful, ready to work, ready to act. Then you think of Isaac. He remained home, trusted that God could work. He couldn't go, but he knew God could. And he waited. And then the Lord blessed. Then finally, how about Rebecca? She went by faith to start a new life. You know, this is an excellent chapter of faith. I hope and pray this morning I at least whet your appetite a little bit on this chapter. I couldn't cover everything, but I encourage you to study it out yourself maybe this week. Read through it. And if you'd like I said, the notes are online that are more detailed. You can find our outline notes online that are more detailed. And you can go through this chapter. I encourage you to study it out. It's an excellent chapter. We're going to close with a word of prayer. Next week we'll look at Genesis 25 and we'll see the death of Abraham.